I believe there'll be no charge on this two for a beer, thank you.
Excuse me?
Okay. We found this mouse in a bottle of Elsinore beer that we bought at your beer store, eh? And we heard, like, when that happens that you get your beer free.
It's in the Canadian Criminal Code, eh? Yeah. Like, there's legal precedent setting cases in law.
So, like, give us our free beer.
You want free beer? Go to the brewery. Now get out of here before I put the two of you in a bottle.
You sure you don't want to think this over?
I'm sure.
Okay, we're going.
Yeah,
see ya.
Two guys with beards, one guy with sideburns and a soul patch. A podcast about American craft beer for beer lovers all across the country. From Boston to Dallas to Las Vegas, this is Beer Coasters.
Hello and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. My name is Chris and I am in Dallas, Texas, and joining me as always is...
Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
And Toby from Las Vegas, Nevada.
And this week we are kicking off another series of stouts. I guess it's not another series of stouts, but... Another series.
It's a short series.
Consisting of stouts.
Yes, Morty Brenner.
So this week, we're going to just stick to stouts. Next week, we're going to be doing chocolate stouts. And the week after, we are going to be doing oatmeal stouts.
Oatmeal.
So for our fermentation conversation this week, we are doing Rogue's Shakespeare's Stout.
Oh, Shakespeare. Yeah.
And then for our tasting flight, Mike, what are you trying?
I'm trying Berkshire Brewing Company's Imperial Stout.
Awesome. Toby, how about
you? Berkshire Brewing Company out of South Deerfield, Massachusetts. Sorry. Go ahead, Toby.
I'm trying Black Hawk Stout from Mendocino Brewing Company out of Ukiah, California.
And I am doing Avery's Mephistopheles Stout.
Ooh, yeah.
It'd be a good one. Well,
I've had that. Now that you've said the name, I've had that before.
Really?
It's crazy.
I haven't had it yet, so we'll see. We'll see how it turns
Sounds
out.
Sounds evil.
Thank you to Mr. Summers. I've had that.
Sweet. Then we'll roll into our tweet of the week, do some backwash. We have a little bit this week. And then roll into our last call for our pint ratings and stuff. So you guys are about ready to drink maybe a little bit of Shakespeare Stout and have some beer and on a
stout
early Sunday morning?
Absolutely. That's what I'm here for.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet. Let's drink some beer.
Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're going to talk about it. We're going to drink some beer. Yeah. This is a fermentation conversation. Yeah.
And welcome to our fermentation conversation. Before we get started, I wanted to talk just a minute about the style that we're drinking today. We're drinking stouts.
Stouts.
It's fitting that we do this the week after the black beers because stout officially means a strong black beer.
Right, right.
Even though most of our Schwartz beers last week were more along the lager style, but these are stouts or ales.
I'd like to give a shout out to my strong black beers.
Stouts, one of the oldest styles of beers, I think traditionally around the 1630s is when it was first started, born out of the porter style, a deeper, richer version of a porter. You'll still get the same sort of roastiness out of it.
Roastiness.
So that's kind of what the style comes from. Before we get into our fermentation conversation itself, I think we wanted to hear from a noted celebrity.
A quote from William Shakespeare. How far that little candle throws his beams, so shines a good beer in a weary world.
And thank you for that little bit of enlightenment.
He's so talented.
Yeah.
So many ways. He's a very cultured individual.
Yeah. And as he alluded to, we are drinking Rogue's Shakespeare's Stout this week. And this is from Rogue Brewery out of Newport, Oregon. website is www.rogue.com. That's R-O-G-U-E.com. The style is an American stout with an ABV of 6%.
Stout.
IBUs of 69. The malts used in this beer are a Northwest Harrington and Clegg's, a Crystal 135 and 165, and Beeston Chocolate, Rolled Oats, and Roasted Barley. The hops, they're using Cascade hops, and for the yeast, they are using Rogue's Pac-Man yeast. And Free Range Coastal Water, which
You can't forget the Free Range Coastal Water.
Free Range Coastal Water.
The water gets to run wherever it pleases.
Yeah. The rate beer rating
of
90. I
wonder if it's corn fed.
Free water, free water. Rate beer rating of 99 out of 100. Beer Advocate users give it an A, and the Alstrom Brothers give it an A as well. So this better be good, people.
Crack it
I guess
open.
There's really only one way to find out whether or not it's any good.
You do this.
Exactly.
Oh, Rogue.
So I'm pouring mine this week into a tulip glass. Man, this is dark and chocolatey looking.
Dark and lovely.
I got a nice big three-finger head off of it. Really dark brown head.
Yeah. Retaining very well. Mine, and I have about three fingers plus. And I didn't really even pour that aggressively.
Yeah, me either.
Very tan head, like really like a light brown head.
Yeah. Light brown brothy.
The sort of the flagship beer when you talk about stouts would be obviously be the Guinness stout. This doesn't look anything like a Guinness.
Speaking of Guinness, we just picked up a six-pack of their 250th anniversary stout. Yeah. I haven't tried it yet, so.
Cool. So this doesn't have quite the same opaqueness. It's still black. It's still dark. You still can't see through it, but it's not as cloudy as a Guinness would be. Mm. And it has bigger bubbles. Guinness tends to have, and that's from the nitrogen versus the regular carbonation.
Smells yummy.
Smells delicious.
Malty, cocoa-y smell.
It smells like chocolate bread.
Yeah.
Like coffee bread with chocolate chips.
Toasted.
Mm.
Yeah, sprinkled, lots of roasted roastiness.
Sprinkled with coffee grounds.
Smells delicious.
It smells like these cookies that my mom makes at Christmas time. It's like she puts coffee grounds in it or something like that. It smells like.
I want some coffee cookies.
Yeah. I found my food pairing. Shh.
So Mike's all about stealing food pairings this week. Tried to steal mine. Now he's trying to steal Toby's.
It's just stout just stands alone so well. I don't necessarily.
It's a meal in itself.
Yes, it is. Especially the chewy oatmeal ones.
Funny you say chewy, because tasting it, that was the first thing that came to my mind. It's very chewy. It's very rich and meaty.
Yeah, it's not as creamy as I thought it was. It doesn't have a creaminess, but it definitely has a full...
got a nice bitterness to it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bitter chocolate.
It's actually a lot more bitter than I had expected it to be.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm getting a lot of malt in the aftertaste, though, too. I think it seems like it's trying to balance itself out here. That's a good thing about stout. There's just a lot of deep character in stouts, you know?
What's the serving temp?
Sure.
It says 48 is that right? 48 degrees?
45. Or 45 to 50. So a little bit. Yeah, a little bit colder.
Great lacing, too.
Yep.
Yeah. Great lacing. Consistent.
A lot of roastedness in it. Lots of coffee. I don't get much. I get the bitter chocolate, but I don't get the sweetness of chocolate.
No, there's no. I don't think
there's hardly any sweetness in it at all.
No, this is like straight like baker's chocolate style, where there's like no sugar.
Yeah.
Sticking my nose back in the glass, I get a lot of cereal grains. Kind of like a, almost like a chocolatey kind of cereal.
Cocoa Puffs.
Chocolate cereal.
Yeah, Cocoa Puffs.
Sweet. Cocoa Puff Stout.
This is pretty bold, I would say.
You know what I'm having for breakfast tomorrow? Cocoa Puffs with Rogue's Shakespeare Stout.
That's what I'm having for breakfast right now.
Go ahead, Mike. You can steal that food pairing.
All right. I'm going to go with Cocoa Puffs with this beer.
No. So in all seriousness, food pairing?
Really? The stouts are tough for me. A food pairing that I think is kind of appropriate. This one, I mean, some stouts could be a dessert type beer. I don't think this one is. I'm going to go with a much darker fish. Like, I'm going to say like a swordfish or something. Maybe a swordfish steak. Maybe a little teriyaki or something. Teriyaki style swordfish steak. How's that for pulling food out of my butt?
I don't know what you're pulling out of your butt and sticking it in your mouth, dude.
But there's,
tell me, what are you pairing it with?
But it's teriyaki. Sorry.
I don't care what kind of marinade you're using, bro. I'm going to go with vanilla ice cream and Nilla wafers.
To sort of go with the meatiness of it, and since it does have that kind of bitter taste, I think you need something a little bit stronger to cut through. I'd go with a really hearty, semi-spicy chili. I
think we'd go good well with this. Choice.
I was thinking chili earlier. Yeah, that's a good one.
Do we mention this was like a award-winning stout?
World champion.
We just did right now.
Oh, well, how about that?
All righty, folks. We ready to move on to some Hop Topics?
Shakespeare on Hop Topics, yes.
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
Hop Topics.
And welcome to our Hop Topics portion of the podcast. Mike, take it away.
Whoa, that was quick. All right. This week's Hop Topic for me comes from the Charlotte Observer. That's the charlotteobserver.com is the website. The title of it is How Life Changes Starting Today. It's an article about laws in North Carolina. I never really talk about the Carolinas. I haven't really pulled any beers from Carolina yet, which I try to find. What's that?
What's up with that, man?
I don't know.
Where's the Carolina love?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Seriously.
Well, here's a little Carolina love right here. So one of the laws, there's a bunch of laws. You go to that website and you can read the article. There's a bunch of laws that are being passed. But one that I wanted to talk about is there's a new law in North Carolina that grocery stores will start to offer beer samples. So they'll have little 2-ounce cups, little beer samples when you go to the grocery store. What do you think about that?
Awesome.
I think that's pretty cool.
Is it near the Cocoa Puffs?
It should be near the Cocoa Puffs and or pretzels or teriyaki swordfish.
Jeez.
What? But that's it, really. I just wanted to mention that. I thought that was pretty cool. And I hope that like more states incorporate that type of thing. So I think it's just phenomenal. Because here in Massachusetts, anybody who lives here knows, you can't buy beer in grocery stores at all. never mind beer samples. We have to go to actually liquor stores and, you know, package stores to purchase alcohol. They're not in grocery stores. So
I did find that out the hard way when I was visiting Boston a few years ago.
Yeah.
We went down to like the Whole Foods and we're looking for the beer. We're like, where the hell is the beer, man? We're in Boston. We had to go around the corner to the liquor store.
Nope. Yeah.
Beer laws are dumb.
They're dumb.
That's it for me and my hop topic. So if you're in the Carolinas, get your beer samples when you go grocery shopping.
Sweet. Tell me what you got.
Well, my little tidbit comes out of the Celebrator.
As he crinkles his pages. He's so analog.
Yeah, the hard copy here. This comes from the Oregon Trail section of the Celebrator Beer News. This is from the August-September issue. If you're in Portland, Oregon,
this is old news,
whether on business or pleasure, if you stay at the Hotel Monaco, they offer what they're calling Portland on Tap. It's a package that includes a standard room for one night, one 22-ounce bottle of Oregon craft beer in the room, two Oregon Brewers Guild pint glasses, two beer flights at the nearby Red Star Tavern and Roast House, and a pub crawl punch card with deals from nearby brew pubs and beery establishments. They also hold, the Hotel Monaco also holds beer tastings at least once a week, along with Meet the Brewer nights featuring Oregon beers. So Hotel Monaco in Portland, Oregon, go to www.monaco-portland.com. Look under their
Cheers
reservations.
To Hotel Monaco, man.
It is
awesome.
I'm not that great with my geography, but I think Newport, Oregon is near Portland.
Straight. No.
No.
Newport?
Anyway, that's where Rogue is located, which was our fermentation conversation for this week.
Shakespeare. Start.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's it for me. I thought that was a pretty cool little thing.
That's super cool. Very cool. There's lots of places that'll do stuff like that. I know like the Laudatory Pines in San Diego used to do stuff like that all the time, where they would have beer dinners and those kind of things.
Sweet.
Very cool. Okay, so my hop topic for this week comes from beernews.org, and it's the title of the article is New Belgium to add a year-round IPA and introduce new label artwork.
Uh-oh.
So for the...
It's a shame that that's the response, you know? Because lately it just seems it's been that way for everybody.
So the big crux of the article is they sort of focus more on the fact that they're coming out with an IPA, which I actually find kind of strange.
Yeah.
That New Belgium is doing an IPA. I mean, it's the whole point in the New Belgium brewery is the fact that they are a Belgian style brewer in the United States. Hmm. IPA isn't exactly a Belgian style. I'm not a big fan of the fact that they're doing this.
What's that? But it's, I mean, I've seen Belgian style India pale ales, but you're right. It's not like a traditional Belgian style.
And actually, on that note, the thing that I wanted to talk about more was the artwork. Okay, we talked a while back when, who was it? Sierra Nevada? No.
Pyramid.
Like Pyramid or something. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Pyramid that changed their art style on their labels and everything. And how much I hated it. Well,
energy drink crowd kind of thing.
So, same deal here. I mean, they're not targeting the energy drink crowd, but they're definitely trying to go for a more simplistic graphic
beer 2.0
style.
Man.
And I'm sick of this crap. It's like the reason that the craft beer industry has gotten to where it's gotten at this point is because of the fact that they've bucked tradition, that they've gone their own route, and they've done things because they want to do things. That makes sense. Right. Like
they're not letting other people tell them how to do things.
Right. And so New Belgium's new labels, they're all two color, very simple, very graphic. Which I don't like.
Which because in theory could be good. Two color, very simple, but they didn't pull
it off. I really like New Belgium's labels. They're very painterly and Renaissance like, and
New Belgium.
Yeah, it's very distinctive. Yeah, their new labels not distinctive at all.
Painted backgrounds, and now it doesn't work for me either. Very, very plain, very, very uninteresting. And I know they're trying to, someone convinced them, whoever they hired to design, that this was kind of the new thing, and this was the direction to go. And
I just don't understand. I don't understand. It's like, why? Has New Belgium really been suffering? It seems to me like they've been growing in business lately.
Yeah.
Right.
So why change this? I don't know. I just don't get it. I don't get it. They're the third largest craft brewer in the U.S., they're a relatively new brewery. I mean, they're not that old.
They look generic right now. Mm. Like, you could go into a grocery store and, hey, here's your generic Abbey style ale.
Yeah.
Here's your generic IPA. It's cheaper than the other stuff. But no, it's just, I don't like the style at all. Those painted backgrounds and stuff on the labels are really cool. And it was them. It kind of...
Well,
they're not letting themselves be themselves.
Yeah, it fit the whole concept of hey, we're an American brewer, but we're sticking to traditional Belgian recipes and Belgian styles, So it was more of a throwback, and the art style that they had before fit that, because it was painted backgrounds and painted labels and just looked very like Renaissance style artwork.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's, 60s pop art.
The labels were crafted like the beer was, And these, it just doesn't, you don't get that same kind of element of craftsmanship when I look at these labels.
No, they're very, very simple. And not saying that it doesn't take some talent to make this kind of label.
I mean, some of the greatest thing, greatest designs ever are super simple.
Right. But
like I said, we were talking earlier, I think that Bridgeport Brewery does a better job of the simpler style with the two color and that. I think this is just, they just did this wrong. I understand maybe the direction they wanted to go, which doesn't make sense to me, but this doesn't work for New Belgium to me.
I guess, and this is something, that Greg Cook from Stone talked about in a speech that I saw him give not too long ago, was don't try to appeal to people. Don't try to make people like you. Be what you are, and people will gravitate to you. That's what craft breweries have done.
They started brewing beer. They were doing the things that they wanted to do the way they wanted to do them.
And, if you're doing it well and you do what you like, eventually people are going to be like you and they want to gravitate towards you. Don't try to appease other people.
It seems like both ways they're trying to do this. New Belgium's comes out with an IPA, for one.
Yep.
Which most likely is trying to appeal to a wider audience.
Yep.
Because it is a more popular American style.
Yep.
And then with the labels as well. And so, I don't know. I just
think it's a bad direction for them to take.
All of them are changing except for Fat Tire.
I want to drink some more beer, guys. This is depressing. Let's go.
All right. Let's go on.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Gonna drink some beer.
And with no further delay.
Talk about it.
Delay.
Okay, so it's my turn. And for this week,
I am going to try Berkshire Brewing Company's Imperial Stout. It's from Berkshire Brewing Company out of South. Wrong Imperial.
Oh.
Out of South Deerfield, Massachusetts.
Speaking of which, if you guys didn't check out the description of last week's episode, it was really cool.
I think that one received the Beer Coasters Award for, I think it's from the Academy of
Podcast of, Descriptions.
Podcap Descriptions went to the Beer Coasters episode 21.
And we also got the Blackest of Black Awards. And we got
the Sultrine Awards this year.
We got our Schwartz's Bronzed.
Schwartz's Bronze.
Okay, anyway, let's get back to the stouts because that's what we're drinking this week.
What a world. What a world.
The website is www.berkshirebrewingcompany.com. In 1994, they transformed an old cigar factory into a brewery. This beer, like I said, is their Imperial Stout. Yes. No, Optimus Prime was a different show. We talked about that. The ABV on this beer is 8.5. This is their classic Imperial Stout. This is kind of their take on that. Their flagship beer for the brewery is their Steel Rail Extra Pale Ale. So if you were to find a beer from them, this would be, you know, that would be the one that you would most likely see. Rate Beer, it rates it 91 out of 100. Beer Advocate users rate this an A-, and the Allstrom Brothers rate this an A. I'm going to crack it open.
Crack it.
And I bought this before I knew what these ratings were, so I think I got lucky this week. It was also cheaper than some of the other ones I looked at. It's true.
You cheat on everything else. Why not cheat on that?
Oh, come on. I didn't cheat. I asked for suggestions.
Yeah, pulled it out of his butt, remember?
Folks. Yeah. Teriyaki swordfish. Bitches. So an interesting note about this brewery I wanted to mention while I'm smelling my beer here, and I'll talk about it in a second. They were trying to get approved to build the brewery in 93, and the town voiced their opinion by giving them a unanimous approval, saying that you're the type of business that we want here, which I thought was interesting and cool, because you don't hear stories like that. You always hear like how they were, you know, that they
we don't want no breweries had to jump in through our hoops. Town.
Yeah, we don't want any beer in our town. I mean, my, you know, the Cape Ann Brewery that I did a review of last week, they had nothing but problems and still have nothing but problems by the community, you know, surrounding them. So it's nice to hear stories like this. So this is black. It had a little bit, maybe ruby highlights when it poured. The head's just about dissipated. That's from me talking so much. It's not a detriment to the beer at all. It's me talking.
God forbid we talk during a podcast.
Beer podcast. A bit different smell than the Shakespeare. It's a different kind of chocolate smell. And some, they're a little bit of like light roasted coffee.
In what way different? Like, I know we were getting more of the bitter chocolate.
This is more like a, I mean, it smells sweeter, you know? Almost like milk, like a milk chocolate. I'm going to take a sip.
Sip it.
Some good brown lacing on here, by the way.
Sip it! Ooh.
Quite different. There's lots of malt character and some, like a berry flavor too. I mean, there's cocoa flavors and there's some berry flavors in here. It's a little bit of alcohol warming, but it's kind of mellow, but it's not, it's, it lets you know, hey, you know, that it's a kind of a bold beer, but it's not like overpowering.
This is a fine time for this style of beer, I would say.
You know, you get into the cooler weather.
Yeah.
Nice stout.
Yep.
It's starting
to cool down and we're getting the leaves changing up here.
Man, I've been really liking the weather right now. It's been raining all this week and it's been nice.
Yeah.
Nice change. I hate summers here. Summers in San Diego were great. Summers in San Diego were great, of course. But then again,
yeah, well, San Diego was great year round. Season in San Diego was great.
Well, there's only two weather in the country. Really in San Diego.
There's a second one.
Maybe there's just one.
Yeah,
good.
I think it's
good and better.
Yeah. San Diego's pretty much springtime year round.
This one's a bit creamier than the Shakespeare, and it's got this berry character that. Maybe it's a little bit of licorice and berry kind of blended.
Licorice?
You know, licorice.
Little bits like the licorice.
Little bits like the licorice.
It kind of reminds me of like a brownie.
Ooh. You know? Kind of like that chewy sort of cakey goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, like a really fudgy brownie. And it's kind of got a very slick feel. It's creamier and slicker than the Rogue. It's slickery. Well, if I was going to pair this with anything, this is definitely more of a dessert. It's got that berry character. So maybe like a chocolate cake with like a berry layer in there somewhere, some kind of berry
nice
type filling. Would be good with this, or even a caramel. I think a chocolate cake with a caramely, almost like a what is it? The German, like a German chocolate cake. Yeah, something like that would be really good with this.
Cool,
it's a good beer.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Do I click it down?
Much better.
Okay.
Click it now.
All right.
All right.
Click it.
Here we are out in the western region of the United States.
For your right to drink beer.
I'm going to talk about the weather in my tasting flight.
Yeah.
It's lovely this time of year in Las Vegas. It went from 100 degrees down to about 82 degrees in 3 days' time. And it's lovely. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. So, for my tasting flight today, I am focusing in on the Black Hawk Stout.
63 degrees here in Boston, Massachusetts.
The Black Hawk Stout comes from Mendocino Brewing Company in Ukiah, California. They've been brewing since 19...
Which is all about birds.
Yes, they love their birds at Mendocino. And their hops. They've been brewing since... 1983.
I don't know.
They also have a Saratoga Springs, New York brewery that's been around since 97. Yes.
What? New York City?
No, it's Saratoga Springs.
Saratoga Springs?
Get a rope. So... their website is www.mendobrew.com. The style I'm enjoying today is an Irish-style stout. Their ABV, this one is 5%. Could not find any IBUs on it. You can find them in six-packs and on draft, I believe. The ingredients in this bad boy is they use black patent combined with pale and caramel malts. And the hops they're using is the Cascade and the Cluster hops. An interesting note.
It's all a big cluster.
The red...
Just like the podcast.
The Red Tail Ale six-pack carrier, which Red Tail Ale is Mendocino's flagship beer, I'd say. Their six-pack carrier won two National Packaging Design Awards. In 96, the company won a Bay Area Addy Award and the International Brand Packaging Award for their Blue Heron Pale Ale label and carrier package design. In 1990, Mendocino received a gold medal.
Fat tire.
Received a gold medal for Eye of the Hawk Summer Ale at the Great American Beer Festival. So that's just
Exactly. And if you look at their labels, they're very, like, drawn and artistic without being this 2.0 thing that everybody seems all bent on right now.
And you know it's them.
No, just phenomenal illustrations of birds, really. I mean, they're really, really good quality illustrations of all their birds. Why they're obsessed with birds, I don't know. Maybe I should do a little more homework. But
Rate Beer gave this one a 68 out of 100. The Beer Advocate users gave it a B, as well as the Ahlstrom Brothers. I am using a pint glass. I'm going to pour aggressively. Yeah. Every last drop.
See, pouring beer.
So,
are you sure?
This looks like it should. It's completely black. Cannot see through it whatsoever. Nice two fingers of frothy, light brown head. Dissipating at a medium pace.
At a medium pace.
Now, as I whiff it,
whiff it. Whiff
They are all raptors. Yes, they are. All the birds are all raptors.
But the heron's not a raptor, is it?
I'm sorry.
No, I don't think so.
I didn't think so either. They cheated.
So the aroma is nice. It's a very kind of powdered chocolate cocoa. Very light, kind of. That's really all I'm picking up on.
Feathery
the
essence.
Is this kind of powdered chocolate, kind of Nesquik, as I dip my nose into the beer.
No, that's a bunny, not a bird.
I'm taking a sip.
Sorry.
Kind of a metallic, chocolatey, kind of thin, it's got some good mouthfeel, a little thin though. Nice lacing, kind of a creamy chocolate, a touch of coffee, pretty drinkable. It doesn't have the meatiness that the Rogue had. But, pretty good. Yeah, the powdered cocoa is there. It started off kind of metallic, but it's pretty good. As far as pairing this with something, I'm thinking Cocoa Puffs. No.
You know, you're stealing stuff.
Just don't say anything about roasted bird, because that was just too disrespectful.
This is when I drink beers like this, it makes me think of dessert. I don't think of this being a dinner beer. So I'd say cheesecake. Cheesecake with vanilla wafers. It's actually good. It's actually very creamy.
Then
somebody needs to get some Miller wafers after this podcast is over with.
So yeah, that's the Black Hawk Stout from Mendocino Brewing Company.
And now, representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
TFC, it's Chris's turn.
Getting really old, man. So for my tasting flight this week, I am doing Avery's Mephistopheles' Stout.
Mephistopheles.
For those who don't know who Mephistopheles is. He's Mephistophelizing. He was the demon who Faust sold his soul to.
Ah, so. Perfect name for a beer.
Yes. So we'll.
It is on auction at ebay.com right now.
We will see whether or not Avery sold their soul in order to develop the perfect beer. This is created by Avery Brewing out of Boulder, Colorado. Their website is www.averybrewing.com. Style is an imperial stout. The ABV on this beer is a 15.92%. So this is a fairly high alcohol beer.
What?
IBUs of 107. There's a lot of IBUs in here as well. The ingredients for the hop variety, they are using a Magnum and Styrian Goldings hops. The malt varieties, they're using Two Row Barley, Black Malt, Roasted Barley, Belgian Special B, and some aromatic malts. Interesting thing about this beer, it's brewed only once a year and bottled on December 1st of each year. So it's limited as to when you can get these. You can only get them. You can get them for as long as quantities last throughout the year, but they only brew it once a year.
Is this part of a series?
Yeah, they have two other beers in the. I forget what they call the series now.
The Devils or Demons? Demon something?
Yeah, hang on.
Demons of Ale.
Yeah, Demons of Ale, and the other ones are the Samael Ale and the Beast, which is a
Beast.
The Beast is a Grand Cru, and the Samael is just an oak aged ale.
Grand Cru, we haven't done that style yet. We got to do that.
Yes, we do. I was only able to get this in a 12-ounce bottle and a really really expensive 12-ounce bottle at that. Not a cheap beer. The rate beer rating of 99 out of 100. Beer Advocate users give it an A-, and the Alston Brothers have not weighed in on it, which kind of surprises me. I thought they would have. So
yeah.
I'm going to crack it open.
Defoil it.
Defoil the beat. No, sorry. Stuff.
So yeah, this is a foil capped.
Means it's fancy.
It's fancy. It's part of the demon ales.
It is black. Same dark.
Black as the devil himself.
Same dark head. I'm getting about two fingers.
I thought the devil was white.
I thought he was like red with horns and like a tail and stuff, man.
Dark black color. It looks a lot like the Rogue did. Not much different. Ooh, a lot more sweetness on the nose.
Is it licorice-y?
Yeah, a little bit.
Little bit.
A little bit of light coffee. Definitely a lot sweeter than the Rogue was. At least from the scent. Devil's. Some toffee. Devil's
sweet, sweet goodness.
Chocolate. A little bit of fruity notes. Maybe like a dark brown sugar.
Your fruity notes sound like do re mi.
What? Wow. The taste is way different. Definitely a lot of the alcohol. Lots of chocolate. It doesn't taste nearly as bitter on the sides of the tongue as the Rogue was.
107 IBUs.
Yeah. Jeez. The alcohol is very forward. This is really good.
Are you getting any of the grapes that they mentioned in there?
Yeah. Yeah.
They actually say that it's very like wine-like.
Like a dark grape with chocolate. So it's not quite wine like. It's more of a maybe like a port wine, like a really sweet wine.
Yeah.
Maybe some cherries. This is really tasty.
Sounds good. I want some.
It's, I really like this a lot. It's very, lots of bitter chocolate, but more of the sweetness in the bitter chocolate. Like eating a, like a chocolate covered cherry.
Speaking of eating,
a cordial cherry.
Yeah. What would you pair with this?
Oh. I know, Mike, you use the chocolate cake with berry reference, but that would, I mean, that's perfect for this. Like a chocolate, like a dark chocolate cake with
a devil's food, perhaps?
Yeah. With a with a cherry layer of like cherry. You know how there's like that thick cherry jelly?
Yeah.
Like something like that would go really well. Yeah, that's mine. This is a delicious beer.
I believe Avery has sold their soul.
Yes.
Loho says,
Brooke's teaching us sexual positions with her hand puppets. FYI, there's lots of empty beer glasses on the table.
It's the tweet of the week! Tweet of the week! It's the tweet of the week! Tweet, tweet! Tweet of the week, yeah!
Time for some backwash. Let's check the Beer Coaster's email and hotline.
Backwash.
And welcome to the backwash segment of our Beer Coasters
Time
podcast.
For some backwash.
Got a couple pieces
Coasters
of backwash this week.
Email.
The first piece of backwash that we got was actually posted directly on our website by Ty.
Pieces.
Says, I have to agree with the brewer from Stone. Lagers are boring. However, I can't deny the complexities of some of these bottom feeder beers. In fact, Sam Adams makes a great black lager, as you guys discovered in this episode, referring to last week's Schwarzbier episode.
Schwarzbier!
My homebrew setup doesn't allow me to make a lager, but I'll be picking up a Juxtaposition Black Pilsner next time I'm at BevMo.
Juxtapose.
Thanks for expanding my horizons, Ty. Thank you, Ty.
Cool, man.
Glad we could
expand. All we hope to do here on the Beer Coasters podcast is expand horizons.
Absolutely. I missed BevMo.
Well, what I have isn't really a piece of backwash. It looks like it might be a piece of backwash, but was a response basically from Twitter from Femme Fermental, which I think she has her own beer blog. There you go. Fermental.com. She is a beer geek and a foodie in pursuit of all things fermentable and edible. And she says, I'll have to check out the show today after she says, no apologies for the beard because she mentioned that guys in New England had too much facial hair. And I have a beard, so I commented on that. She says, I have to check out the show today and I have thoughts on BBC, meaning Berkshire Brewing Company, which is one of my tasting flight beers today. So I just wanted to mention that.
And I don't know if we've mentioned this before, but chicks that are into beer,
hot, totally hot. So when you move to Boston or the New England area, I guess it's law that you have to grow facial hair if you're male.
I think it just happens. I think whether you want it to or not, it just kind of grows and there's nothing you can do about it.
It's pretty,
the razors
I
end
guess
up
it's
like breaking on you and you just can't do anything about it.
Guess I should
kind of like
to
when
England.
You when you move to Las Vegas, you have to, you're issued a tap out t-shirt and a famous hat.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of like
the same
that,
thing. Huh? Or if you live in Texas, there's constant mooing going on.
And you have to have a smoker in your backyard.
Yes. I actually do have a smoker in my backyard. Thank you.
Texas, where the cows are nervous.
Last call.
Hopefully everybody has their drink orders in for the last call. This is the section of the show where we go through our pint ratings, give some individual shout outs, and give our basic contact information.
Slew of
voice. So we'll start out with the pint ratings.
Get a hold
Mike.
Of us. Oh, sure. Ratings. Start with me. Okay. Well, the Rogue Shakespeare Stout. Well, I'm still sipping on it. Sipping on both of these here. And.
What?
It's tough. I'm going to give it a 4.5. I think it's a really good stout. As it's warming up, I'm tasting awesome. Some hops in there, which I don't know is representative of the stout style or not, but I'm giving it a 4.5 anyway. The Berkshire Brewing Company's Imperial Stout, I'm giving it a 4.5 as well for different reasons. I love the berry flavors coming through, and this is like a phenomenal stout for the price. Like, this was a couple dollars cheaper than anything else I was looking at. It's just a wonderful representation of the style. So that's what happens when you drink, you know, high alcohol beers.
Until we've had enough to drink this week.
Yeah. That's how it goes. So if you want a good representation of the style, then go with Berkshire Brewing Company's Imperial Stout. Rogue Stout is a good representation as well. One being a little hoppy, one being a little berry flavored. That's it for me.
It is berry flavored.
Berry flavored. Those both beers are berry flavored, by the way. And they're
kind of like the fruity pebbles next to the Cocoa Puffs.
Yes.
Tell me what you got.
Well, for I'm actually, you know, I liked both of them equally, although they were both different to me. So I'm going to give them both 4 stars. So the Rogue Shakespeare I thought was great, full-bodied, very, you know, a stout. You know, like you drink it and you just go, yes, this is a stout.
It's a man's beer.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, I don't know. Everything in the name, it was great. But for the Black Hawk, it was a little smoother, a little more drinkable, a little sweeter, chocolatier. So I don't know.
Black Hawk is smooth.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
Toby likes his Black Hawk.
They're both good in their own way, but I liked them both about the same, even though they're slightly different. So yeah, I'm going to give them both 4 pints out of 5.
Yeah, I feel the same way Toby does as far as I'm giving both of mine the same rating.
So weird that we all did
but
that.
But they're not
week.
At all alike. None of them. I mean, they're completely different.
Both of our beers are all different.
We agree.
And we've all rated them the same.
The Rogue is completely different than the Avery. The Rogue, like Toby said, it's a very like stout beer. It's very meaty and just there, roasted and roasty and just good.
Roasty.
Really liking that one. Then on the flip side, the Avery is much, not quite as meaty, much more fruity, but strong, and the Avery is just awesome. I'm doing something not quite kosher as far as the Avery Boy. Goes, because it doesn't feel like a stout to me.
It's a double kosher?
The Avery, it feels like an American strong ale. It's much closer to an American strong ale than it is a stout. That being said, I'm giving both of my beers 5 pints this week.
Whoa!
I loved both of these beers. I think they're
Damn.
Awesome. So that's where I feel.
That's right. That's where Chris feels right there.
That's where
How
I
do you feel.
Feel
about your beer.
He feels in the five pints.
And if you want to check out the websites for these particular beers, the Rogue can be found at www.rogue.com, and the Avery Mephistopheles can be found at www.averybrewing.com. You guys got any websites you want to throw out there?
If you would like to check out Berkshire Brewing Company, they are berkshirebrewingcompany.com, and you can check out their offerings there. Pretty cool. You know, they went from a microbrewery to becoming a regional brewery. And, I mean, they're constantly
becoming the hometown of the Hobbits.
Yeah. Sure. Yes, it is the...
of the Burke Hobbits, not just any Hobbits.
Choice of beer Hobbits. Of Bilbo Baggins.
Come visit the Shire.
The Burke line of Hobbits. Anyway.
But that's it for me.
Zoe.
You can also check out MendoBrew.com for Mendocino Brewing Company's information. MendoBrew.com. And also, I mentioned in my Hop Topics about that Monaco hotel there in Portland, Oregon. They have other Monaco hotels across the country, but particularly the one in Portland with their Portland on Tap package. Find more information at www.monaco-portland.com.
And I would be willing to bet that all of those places that we just described all have Twitter accounts. I don't know what any of those are, but you can follow us on Twitter at Beer Coasters Pod,
which is the most important.
Or you can, right, you can follow us individually.
This is the best one.
Mine is B Coaster Chris.
Coaster. Mine is Beer Coaster Mike.
And I'm Beer Coaster Toby.
You can also search for us on Facebook. Just search for Beer Coasters Podcast. You can also email us. My email is chris@beercoasterspodcast.com.
And I am mike@beercoasterspodcast.com.
And I'm toby@beercoasterspodcast.com.
How about that? You can email us some backwash at backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com. You can also leave some audio backwash one of two different ways. One, you could go to the website and click on the little call me button, the little Google call me thing, or you can dial 972-914-8502. You can post your comments directly on the website for each episode, which is pretty cool. We like that.
Which is how we got our backwash this week from Ty.
That is how we got our backwash this week. So check us out.
Website is actually www.beercoasterspodcast.com. You can also find us in iTunes. Just search for Beer Coasters in the iTunes store.
Super cool.
You can subscribe to it. And you check out the website, beercoasterspodcast.com, on Mondays for the next time on Beer Coasters. So you can see what we're drinking next week and pick up some if it's in your area and it's available and you want to drink with us. It's pretty sweet. I think Crazy Dave has done that before.
Yep. He's crazy.
And tell your friends, tell them to tell their friends and maybe their parents if they drink. If they don't drink, then it's probably not a good idea. They might be in some sort of program or something, so you probably don't want to recommend the website. But thanks for listening.
Yes, thank you.
Support your local brewery. Drink local, because local is fresh. Don't drink and drive, folks.
Guys, got any last-minute comments, suggestions, favorite beer bars?
My favorite beer right now is these stouts, man. These are pretty cool. I could sip on a few more of these this week.
Oh, yeah, look for that new Guinness 250th anniversary stout. I haven't tried it yet, but I will let you know.
Sweet.
When I will tweet it. That's it. I will tweet my results. The Guinness 250th anniversary stout.
Is it? Wait, and if anybody else out there has any comments, suggestions, favorite beer bars, or anything, just send us an email at the backwash at beercoasterspodcast.com. Let us know what your favorite beer bar is.
Is it too early to mention that we may have a new website soon?
You can mention it.
Okay. We're going to have maybe a new website soon. So check the website. There may be a new revamping of it
coming up
very soon. We're working on that. So we'll keep you posted or check the website and see, hey, wow, this looks completely different than last time. It's because it's new. So there.
And with that, I think we're done for the week.
Cheers.
Cheers.
That was the weakest glass clinging I've ever heard. Pause.